From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his fifth message in a series expounding one of the most beloved passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Christ Burdened, Blasphemed, and Beaten. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Past Deliverance Begets Faith. The text is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. This is not a promise if we consider only the words, but it is truly so as to its sense, for David spoke a word which the Lord endorsed by making it true. He argued from past deliverances that he should receive help in a new danger. In Jesus all the promises are yea and amen to the glory of God by us, and so the Lord's former dealings with his believing people will be repeated. Come, then, let us recall the Lord's former loving kindnesses. We could not have hoped to be delivered aforetime by our own strength, yet the Lord delivered us. Will he not again save us? We are sure he will. As David ran to meet his foe, so will we. The Lord has been with us, he is with us, and he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why do we tremble? Was the past a dream? Think of the dead bear and lion. Who is this Philistine? True, he is not quite the same, and is neither bear nor lion. But then God is the same, and his honor is as much concerned in the one case as in the other. He did not save us from the beasts of the forest to let a giant kill us. Let us be of good courage.
Immortal, invisible, our God only wise, in light inaccessible that's hid from our eyes. Most blessed and most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Immortal, invisible, God.
Second Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he now begins an exposition of verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns focuses on the certainties of the gospel as embodied in the word surely. When dealing with Scripture, there are no probabilities, only divine truth which leads sinners to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Christ Burdened, Blasphemed, and Beaten, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now returning to the 53rd of Isaiah, starting at verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this very familiar passage from his own precious word. For a number of weeks now, we have been considering the end of Isaiah 52 and the opening verses of Isaiah 53. You may recollect that I pointed out that the actual chapter break would probably have fallen more happily at the end of verse 12 of 52, so that those final verses of what is now Isaiah 52 really belong to Isaiah 53. The end of 52 gives us, in a synopsis form, the entire meat, the entire message of Isaiah 53. We have there the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the 53rd chapter, verse 1, starts with a lamentation of about the unbelief of the people who hath believed our report. Then verses 2 and 3 describe the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we come to verse 4. Starts with the word surely. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. Now, the surely actually has a double significance. It obviously is first and foremost a word of strong certainty and affirmation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a matter of divine certainty. We thank God that the Bible deals with eternal truths. And here then is something upon which we can depend our souls. It's very interesting and very informative that when we have this strong affirmation, this note of certainty upon which we are to depend our souls, we are led directly and immediately to the person and to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a basic Bible doctrine, and it is basic to Christian comfort to recognize that our assurance is not finally based merely on some statement of logic. It is not merely based on the various evidences of Scripture. It is not merely based on the various arguments that Christian apologetics can assemble. All these things are certainly important to the Christian, but ultimately our basis of assurance is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have often pointed out, and I think that we as a church would do well to remember it. We would do well to pray over it. We would do well to seek God to let us see it in our own experience. I have pointed out many times that in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, when Christ has been preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, the science of apologetics has almost faded out of existence for the simple reason it has not been needed. If you look at the great times of revival, when preaching was in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you will find that arguments were swept aside. Men's discussions were overthrown. It's not that there was no substance to the argument in favor of the gospel. It is simply that a higher power came and convinced men of the reality of that argument and of the person and work of Jesus Christ. When the church has the experience of spiritual powerlessness, then academics try to do what only the Holy Ghost can really do. And I think we do well to realize that however good it feels to be able to assemble the Christian evidences, and that's part of the training of every minister, he ought to know the Bible. However good it feels to be able to enter into the field of apologetics and take on the science and the philosophy of the day and establish the truth of the Word of God, at the end of the day, souls will be saved, the church will be built, Christ will be glorified, the devil will be defeated when God's Word is preached in the power of the Spirit, and men and women are led directly and immediately to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I emphasize that because in these days there is, unfortunately, a drift. We find in one of the major schools of apologetics that has actually become very popular nowadays, and I must say has assembled tremendous volumes of historical evidence that would convince any honest man of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But ultimately they come down to this, and I'm thinking of the school of John Warwick Montgomery and those who follow him like Josh McDowell. And they have done wonderful work in many areas, but they come up to this final great conclusion that when you're dealing with historical evidence, the strongest position you could ever reach is the position of great probability. In other words, there is always the suggestion, however remote, of improbability. And they say you can never have certainty when you're dealing with history. So that when we come to the historical evidence upon which so many people are simply basing their trust in Christ, they are saying we have launched our souls for eternity upon a strong probability. But nonetheless, the question mark is still there. Should there arise in the logic of men a stronger probability, then we will jettison our faith in Christ. I tell you, my friend, the Word of God does not deal in probabilities. When you say Jesus Christ is probably true, you are saying he is possibly a liar. When you say Jesus Christ is probably the Son of God, you are saying he is possibly a devil. The Word of God does not deal in probabilities. It deals in eternal verities. Jesus Christ himself is the great foundation of our assurance. Surely, says the prophet, and in the following words and verses, he immediately goes to Christ. The Protestant reformers, and especially John Calvin, had it right when they taught that there are many historical, scientific, literary, and logical arguments that can be assembled to show the excellencies of Scripture and to show the truth of the Bible, but ultimately our full persuasion of these things depends on the ministry of the Holy Ghost applying Jesus Christ to the heart. The old Puritans emphasized this when they said that historical faith doesn't see him. In other words, people can be assured of the historical truth of the gospel narrative and perish. We would put it rather more simply, it is not a head knowledge of the gospel that saves, it is Christ who saves. Therefore, we need to emphasize our affirmation of certainty is directly and solely dependent upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word surely is a strong affirmation. But the word surely also has the significance of for or because. In other words, it is referring to what went before, and it is giving us a fuller reason for what happened in the previous verse. The previous verse shows us the humiliation of Christ. How did the Son of God come to be the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, with men hiding their faces from him, despising him and esteeming him not? The great reason for it is, he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. The message of this verse is simple. And as I pondered it, I thought it was sublime. It's a wonderful word that the prophet here brings. Look at the verse carefully. Christ bore. Notice the emphasis on he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Christ bore what he didn't have to bear in order that we might not bear what we otherwise must have borne. He bore it willingly in order that we should bear it no more. In other words, our text is simply speaking of Christ burdened and his people blessed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.